Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, howdy, 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 everybody. Welcome to the show. It is Monday, February 20th. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. Welcome to Left of Straight Show. Wow, guys. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you guys had a fantastic weekend where you're listening from. Of course, we're airing here right out of Northeast Ohio, and we have spring sprung finally. Last week, you remember my shows, I was like in 28 and 30 degree weather, freezing my little tutas off. And today we had a 68 for a high on Saturday and 65 today. It's going to be 60s all week long in beautiful Northeast Ohio. So, yay, I'm excited. Hope you guys had some fun, exciting stuff to do this weekend. I had a great game night with some friends and went a little gambling to the casinos. It was a great night had by all. Going to have some great shows for you this week. Last week, if you missed any of the shows, we had Rocca, who is, oh my God, she's an amazing telenovela actress, featured on the soap opera My Life is a Telenovela. It's hilarious. She was on Monday's show. Tuesday, we had Mark Schwamberger. He's the artistic director of the theater company in Columbus here, Evolution Theater Company. It's an LGBTQIA theater company. And then we had Stephen Daler, model and actor, on the show. And then on Wednesday, for Standing on My Soapbox, the fantastic Rachel Currents from the New Edition story on BET was on. So it was a fun show. If you miss any of those, you can always download our free app. Just go to your Android or iPhone app store or your tablet. Look up Left of Straight Radio and you can download the free app. You'll never miss an episode. This week, fantastic. Today, we're going to have Nick Webster and Colin Shute. They have a brand new web series starting tomorrow, so I can't wait to talk with them in a couple minutes. Then tomorrow, we're doing oh my goodness, this is going to be a great show. If you guys are Sorted fans, you know I've had the cast on a couple times. The sequel to Sorted Lives is finally coming out on March 10th, and we have the cast coming over the next couple of weeks. We have Ann Newell and Rosemary coming on tomorrow, along with we're going to have Casey also singing for us. So it's going to be a great show there. And then on Wednesday, Standing on My Soapbox, Adam Sank and Katie Sullivan are doing my co-hosts. So we're going to a rant, rave, and review about the week in politics and pop culture and all sorts of fun stuff. So a great show this week. Lots of other news, but I don't want you keeping waiting for our guests. They're going to be on in just a couple of seconds. Let's go ahead and play a little Long Reef Battle Plan. And when we come back, we're going to have on the terrific actors, Nick and Colin. So you're listening to Left of Straight Show. Hold on just a couple of minutes, and we'll be right back.
Believe what
And we are back. Guys, that was a great Australian group, Long Reef, who lent their song Battle Plan to our good friend Ronnie Eddie's show against bullying. So let's hear it for them. Guys, I'm so excited today. Our first two guests are great allies of our community. They're launching their very own YouTube series tomorrow titled Nick and Colin. It's a fun look at examining your life, your choice, and what lies ahead. The two are roommates at Virginia Commonwealth University and have collaborated and stayed friends ever since. I'm really excited to see where this idea came from and to celebrate these two up-and-coming filmmakers. Please welcome to the show the very aptly named Nick and Colin, Nick Webster and Colin Shoot. Welcome to the show, guys. How you doing?
Great. Hey, Scott. Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for coming on. Hi, Colin. Hey, how you doing, Nick?
Fantastic. It's above 50 degrees in New York City, so I can't complain about anything now.
Isn't it a beautiful thing? I just tell all the listeners really before you guys got on, it's like I was bitching last week. It is internet radio, by the way. You can throw a cuss word in every once in a while. No big deal.
Oh, nice.
But, I was bitching last week that it was like 28 and 30 degrees doing the damn show, and then this week it's like 60s all week long. I'm very excited all of a sudden.
Wow. Well, I'm in L.A. and I'm bitching because it's 62. So, you know.
And you had that hella rainstorm the other day, right? You guys were like big time rain.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild. Yeah. I was driving for Lyft that day, and I got a ride from L.A. all the way to San Diego during that storm.
Wow. You had to drive someone from L.A. to San Diego during the storm. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a two-hour drive regular, whether you're going through traffic or weather or anything. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It was cool.
Well, guys, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you both on. I mean, I first saw Colin in season two of the web series Gossip Boy. I had that whole cast on a couple weeks ago. And then your buddy Paul kind of turned me on to the new project. I'm really glad he did. That's pretty exciting stuff, launching your own web series here. That's congratulations.
Yeah, big shout out to Paul. I'm really happy that he introduced us. And be sure to check out Gossip Boy season 3 coming up, which also I think is going to release in March. So that'll be fun for everybody to see that.
Yeah, I think you're coming out the second week of March. So that's very cool. One of the reasons I had you on because I don't think you're going to be on season 3. It was kind of a cliffhanging season 2 there. So it's a good thing you have.
Yeah.
I'm so codependent. I'm so glad you have a new gig coming on. You don't understand.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I played Travis, and he had a tough time there at the end. So, but anyway. So Nick and I were releasing our series tomorrow.
Nice. Let's get a little background on you both. I know that right now that Nick, you're calling in from New York, and Colin, you're in L.A. Nick, tell me about. Where did you grow up? Are you from the New York area? And what kind of got you interested in movie making and acting?
Sure. So I started just as a little twinkle in my mom and dad's eye in Ohio. Came down to Virginia. So I grew up in southeastern Virginia near Virginia Beach. Went to school in Richmond, Virginia with Colin there. And it kind of interesting, we started off as two friends in a musical Psycho Beach Party.
So, oh, how funny.
We were two little sailors, you know, that would hop up there and do our cheeky little stuff. And that developed into being roommates. And then we went ahead and we did a cross-country tour. I moved Colin out to L.A. with him and decided that, no offense to L.A., but it's not for me. I need somebody to flick me off and honk at me from a taxi every once in a while.
There you go.
Self-deprecating of you.
And been in Brooklyn for 5 years now, just doing the dream and been on a couple tours with some different shows and just kind of excited to really get into the film aspect and being able to make something. It has been a journey. We've been writing this for about 9 months. It was about a month and a half of filming, and then the editing process has been quite an experience as well. So it's all in-house.
Nice. I want to go all into the new series in a bit. Colin, what's your background? Are you always from California, or what's your story, and how did you get involved in the entertainment business?
Yeah. Yeah. So I grew up in Alexandria, Virginia. So Nick and I both pretty much grew up in Virginia. So, yeah, I went to – I would say I got the first bug when I was putting on a little Thanksgiving play at my grandma's house with all my cousins. And
nice.
I was probably three or four. Yeah, and they dressed me up as the Thanksgiving turkey, a little butterball. And they just kind of – you know, they sat me down up in front and everybody was laughing at me. And, you know, all the way home when my mom was driving me home and I would say, acting. So I just love making people laugh. And, I think that was the spark that kind of got me going.
That's awesome. So, that's in all the East Hollywood stories. They were doing plays in the backyard for their families. So you got that going for you.
Yeah, I'd like to put on like little productions, remakes of Titanic for my family, you know, stuff like that, you know, when I was like 7 or 8 years old. So that was funny. But I did that in high school. You know, I did all theater and musicals in high school and then I went to VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, and that's where I met Nick. And doing Psycho Beach Party. Yeah, that was a musical that we were cast in. And interestingly enough, we kind of bonded over football, over the Washington Redskins. And we have our own little podcast called Redskins Hangover, where we do football talk during football season. So we were doing musicals and talking football. You know, we're a real, you know, we cover all the spectrum.
Nice. Now tell me about the Virginia Commonwealth experience there. Did you guys go there specifically for acting, or, and you said you met before you were actual roommates there, right?
So we met at VCU. That was where we all kind of got together. It was a big thing because when I got in there anyways, I'd never really gone through the a rejection process, and it took me about a year and a half to actually get into the program. Fantastic program, one of the better ones in Virginia. And Colin and I, because actually I got bumped down, I was part of the super seniors, the 5-year plan. Nothing wrong with that. So Colin and I just kind of got lucky. It was fate, fortuitous. And there was something about his sense of humor, something about the way that he carried himself that just vibed. And I'm thinking about it now, you know, 9 years down the road. Boy, that's what a journey it's been, Colin.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's been
awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Nick's definitely
well,
one of
the – Well, I love looking at your guys' YouTube channel. You guys have your own YouTube channels, obviously, before you started. You guys have been filmmakers for a long time. Nick, you and I kind of bonded over the years because I'm – guy. That's one of the things I do in my show. I have a lot of Food Network people on the show. You had your own little kitchen segment, Nick's Kitchen. I love that. What got you into creating your own little foodie YouTube videos?
Yeah, Scott, I grew up and I got a B when I was in about third grade. And my parents, for whatever reason, said, okay, you know, no more cable TV. We're getting rid of it. So they got rid of it, and I'd come home and I'd sit and I'd watch CBS and NBC, and there was one channel, it was channel 68, and it was the Food Network channel, and it came in a little bit fuzzy, came in a little bit hard to see, and then I started falling in love, and as a fellow foodie, Scott, you know how transformative and wonderful and the experience of love that food can provide as an outlet, and from there it just blossomed. I realized I could cook with a passion, with a love, with a desire, and also in a way kind of heal the community around me in my immediate family. So
I love it, and I love you have friends over. I mean, I got to tell you that I think your McMuffin making video is probably the funniest thing I've ever seen. You're just so excited about making little McMuffins. I'm dying. I got to tell you.
you got to get one, Scott. You got to get you a breakfast sandwich maker. It'll change your life.
I'm telling you, it even slides together and makes it so. I have to. It's on my Amazon wish list now. It's going up tonight. That's all there is to it. And then, Colin, you've been doing videos as well. You have my kind of humor. You're chatting with douchebag series. Come on, man. That's cool. That is cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I do a little me, myself, and my selfie is kind of like an alter Instagram that I have, alter ego Instagram, where, yeah, I put up some videos, yeah, chatting with D-bags, so, yeah, it's
now,
just
how
a little comedy outlet.
Did you guys learn all the behind-the-scenes stuff at VCU as well, as far as the camera make, besides being the acting in front of it? Did you take all that camera stuff, and you had your own camera all along, or what kind of,
no,
what got
you know,
interested in the backside?
Yeah, that's really been the motivating factor for this project, pretty much, is to immerse ourselves in that technical, in those technical areas, because we really didn't have much experience at all. So this was, I mean, I was always a fan of photography, and, you know, I've been playing around with, you know, Canons for a while, you know, just real amateur stuff, but, I mean, this was a real science experiment for us. You know, that was one of the major reasons why we needed to do this, is to learn that other side.
It's amazing what they could do in editing and how that process goes. And it's a huge learning curve, though. Nick, what part are you kind of doing in the background?
It has been, well, Scott, I'm glad you brought in the editing, because my, oh my, that has been an exercise in patience, dedication, and not accidentally deleting files. I can't tell you how many times I've had to relink a file onto a project. Just learning the intricacies of that with audio mixing, with color correcting. Colin does a lot of the color correcting. You know, you think you see these, and everybody around here is like, well, you know, I can do that. I can make that happen. You know, I can be an actor. I went to school, and that's fine. But once you start really getting in, if you want to be good at it and you want to hone it, it is a craft, it is a skill. And Colin and I have each probably put in, you know, not 1,000 hours for that mastery, but we're on our way to it.
Well, that's the way to go. I mean, more power to you guys. That's my kind of claim to fame. My only part of the entertainment business I've been in is I was the marketing and office manager for a video production company, and they did – the stuff they did on Final Cut Pro and the amazing stuff they can do, it was just, it's amazing to watch what can happen. But it's also, like you said, you do one slip up, you cut something wrong, or the next thing, or you're in rendering hell for 3 hours, 5 hours, whatever. It could be a real pain in the neck. So I feel your pain, brother.
and it has been, you know, when we were filming it, we really compressed it down. So we were doing 2 or 3 scenes a day because we had a truncated time, and we just got to a point where we go, yeah, you know, we'll edit in post. We'll edit in post-production. It'll be fine. And that has been the mistake heard around the world.
Yeah, we made that joke, but the joke's been on us. Yeah.
Now, did you go out and do you guys rent lighting and your sound and everything? Did you guys end up buying it for future stuff, or what did you guys end up doing for it?
Yeah, I bought a couple of soft boxes, some Studio Pro lights, and I had been experimenting and kind of just trying to build my demo reel and work on some of my own things. And, you know, as I kind of gathered some of that equipment, you know, Nick purchased a DSLR. So, you know, we had 2 cameras shooting pretty much at all times. So we kind of invested in that in equipment ourselves, you know, a Rode mic and, you know, really just kind of winging it there.
It took away the excuse, Scott. It took away the excuse. If you had the equipment and you paid for the equipment, you were then forced to use the equipment and practice with the equipment. And
I hear you, brother. I hear you. Make it till you make it, buy the equipment, and you got to keep doing it. You're right. I love it. Love that.
Got to get your money. All
right, well, let's take a quick little break here. We're going to play actually a song from Justin Martinelli from, it's called The Fall from the Gossip Boy series. And when
cool.
we come back, we're going to talk a little more. We're talking right now to the fantastic Nick and Colin from the new web series, The Nick and Colin Show. How convenient is that, right? We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here. And we are back. That was Justin Martinelli with The Fall from Gossip Boy TV series. It's premiering in March as well, but today for you guys, Nick Webster and Colin Shute, they created a brand new web series debuting tomorrow, The Nick and Colin Show. Guys, tell me about it. What kind of got the concept for this going, and what was the original idea of it? What was what made this happen?
Man, you know, I don't know. I mean, we just kind of started collaborating. We had always written stuff in college, and you know, Seinfeld was a big influence for us, and that was kind of always our running joke in college. Like, Nick was the George, and I was the Jerry of the relationship. So we, you know, that was a big influence for us. We'd always write thinking of Seinfeld, you know, in those kind of tones. So when we started writing last year, we were pretty much doing pure sitcom. And after we wrote it, we looked at it and got some feedback from our friend Tyler Pate. And we decided to take a risk and kind of let that go and try to bring some more genuine, serious themes into the comedy and kind of ground that work a little bit.
And Nick, how do you guys work together? Do you wait till you got to LA before you did a lot of the writing, or do you guys go back and forth over email, or how does the writing process work for you two?
Sure. So that's been a learning curve too. We use what feels like every media stream possible. We're doing the Google Drive, so we'll share documents. We do a lot of audio, a lot of FaceTime, a lot of back and forth. And what we'll generally do is we'll workshop some pieces by ourselves, come together kind of in the collaborative think tank online. Internet's a wonderful thing, internet radio. and then we just kind of see what works, what doesn't work. You know, we're very honest with each other. It's a wonderful peer review system. Colin and I always like to say that we agree on pretty much 98% of the stuff. So it's just been a blessing to have somebody that is so synced up, so linked in to what you're thinking, the beats, the energy, the shifts. It's made it really quite simple to collaborate as much as we have, because we had to get it all done before coming out to LA, because we knew there was going to be, 28 scenes, you know, and those were the different takes and different angles, and we only had about 3.5 weeks to get it all in the can. So it was kind of up at 9 and probably going to bed around midnight that night.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Colin, what was it that kind of cemented your friendship out in college? You guys are able to work this far later. I mean, it's great to see kind of collaborative partnerships that can work across the miles like that. What keeps your guys' relationship so strong in the work atmosphere?
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, as silly as it is, like, you know, people will always say, you know, sports are stupid and stuff like that. But for us, it's kind of like art, and we really bonded with following the same team, and that kind of kept things strong when there was downtime between comedy and between, I mean, we were immersed in theater. We went to school for theater and acting. So when we wanted to take a break, we needed something else to, you know, just relax. And so honestly, sports was one of the major factors that kind of glued our relationship. I mean, would you say that's accurate, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, that and Scott, we had a pretty awesome rock band as well. So when we were roommates.
I missed that in my research. You got to fill me in on that. Wait a second.
Now,
fill in the pieces.
When he says rock band, he means the video game Rock Band. We are not musicians in the least.
Yeah. You know, green, red, blue, yellow, yellow, yellow. I was the lead guitarist. Colin was the drum pad. And together, we really did well in that video game.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That is too funny. Now, I know that we have you two in this series, and we have what's your girlfriend's name in the series? It's also a real name in real life, but is it just the three of you right now, or – how many people are you how many people are going to be in the series?
We have, Nick and I. So Nick and I are the main characters, and then Candace Cervantes, she's also a featured role, and our good friend Jimmy Lee plays kind of the inspiration for Nick's character that pushes him forward into going homeless and living this minimalistic life in order to find himself. So, you know, there's really, you know, a small amount of characters, and we did that for technical reasons, because we wanted to try to shoot everything centered around my house, you know, and just to make it easier on us.
Nice. I like it. Now go ahead and give us a bit of the plot. Tell everyone what it's about. I kind of gave a brief intro, but it's like I said, we're talking about, you guys are examining your life. You're just kind of getting ready to go in your 30s, and you're talking about the choices and what's ahead. Give me a little more detail.
Yeah, this starts out, you know, we kind of play a little bit with the coast. So the character of Nick from New York decides very haphazardly to come over to L.A., kind of just runs right into Colin's life. Colin has a life where he's established with his girlfriend in a house, and he's got a kind of dead-end job that he hates. And what we try to evaluate, the more we talk to people and the more during this writing process, there were so many people that felt stuck and felt unhappy with where they were in their current situation. And it was also an undertone for kind of how we were feeling as we were writing this. So we thought, why don't we look at it and examine these two people with a similar issue of not really doing what they want to in life, and let's have them go in two separate directions. Let's have one be the status quo and stay in denial and kind of keep the job that he has and the lesser, you know, the known evil. And then let's have this other character, and let's have him go kind of off the grid. Let's have him lose his mind a little bit, and he's going to be homeless. And then we thought about that, and we said, well, we don't want to get too bogged down into homelessness, and it's just not a good look for us. So why don't we have him be homeless by living in a cardboard fort in his buddy's backyard?
I love that. You don't understand. I love that idea. That's so cool.
Yeah. And you know, while our themes, you know, a lot of them are about, you know, these two privileged, you know, middle-class white straight males, like, coming of age, like hitting 30, not feeling satisfied, you know, like our themes maybe are not directly related to LGBT themes. We think that, you know, your audience and all audiences can relate to this theme of identity. You know, it's about trying to find your identity and letting go of what you thought you should be and
sure.
What society keeps telling you who to be, that you need to become someone in order to be successful. And you hear that your whole life, you know, being told what you should be, who you should be. And it's a lot about letting that go and trying to find a place that's genuine, to live a genuine life, you know, that's balanced, that's not as crazy as Nick's character, but not as maybe straight as Colin's character is trying to follow these rules.
Great parallels. That's awesome. Now, you filmed this, like you said, you went out to California, filmed this in about 3 weeks. And the great thing about California usually is the weather's good about 11 months out of the year. But you've had such wacky weather lately. How did you get so lucky to get this? Did you have any mishaps? And when did you shoot this?
Yeah, we shot in the summer. So we did get pretty lucky. It was, you know, it was all sunshine.
Nice. And you shot in and around L.A., you said Highland Park area?
Yeah, out in Highland Park, Eagle Rock area. We shot, I would say, 90% of the film, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And is this...
And I really had to...
Go ahead, Nick.
I really had to rely on Colin to do it. You know, that was another interesting kind of wrinkle in this whole thing was... There was so much groundwork that I couldn't do that Colin had to scout out locations or look at where he's going to go with LA, you know, see when the sunsets were, observe the lighting conditions. So, yeah, he really took on a lot of the headway just to scout out all the areas of where we should be. After we wrote it, I kind of just scooted in, you know, on my plane and said, okay, what time do I need to get up? I'm ready for my close-up, you know.
There you go. That's awesome. Yeah, it is tough. I mean, I can understand that. Like you said, when you're you get kind of appreciation, like we're talking about appreciation of editing and stuff like that, you get appreciation for all aspects of filmmaking. Because like you said, there's usually a location manager that will go to the director and say, here's some shots of what I'm doing. And it's a lot of work to do everything to people that goes into a filmmaking.
Yeah, Nick's being generous and humble, but I have to say, you know, 80% of it was shot at my house, so, you know, either I was lazy or, you know, we also, you know, I scouted my backyard, you know, that was something I did. But yeah, we
had
to get close to home.
Somewhere. And how much of a crew did you bring with you? Were you able to bring some friends and family involved on, or how many people did it take to get this all done?
Yeah, you know, big shout outs to our friends, Justine and Amber, Adriel. We had friend Andy Miller, you know, help us out, Joe, Theo, Monica Holmes. You know, we had a little group of people that would come in, Donzel Lewis, and help us shoot and help us set up lights, you know, help with food, yada, 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 just making sure everything was straight and ready to go. Yeah, and a little group of friends.
Nick, were you in charge of craft services with your excellent culinary skills?
You know, one of the things was I'm in the city. I'm used to walking everywhere. And, you know, in L.A., you're driving. And so Colin and Candace, they'd get a little upset with me because I'd go, all right, you know, we got to go to the grocery store to pick up my groceries. And they're like, well, we just went yesterday.
Oh,
and I said,
yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, I got to go to the grocery store every day. I got to see what's fresh, what's on sale. It's a whole to-do. I felt a little, to be honest with you, Scott, I felt a little stunted in my craft service abilities. But they can come to my kitchen, and I'll take care of them over here.
All right, what's the other side, Colin?
He was going to the grocery store every day, every day.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you know, and he didn't have an eye to drive him. You know, it's ridiculous. So
it's not like there's exactly. You don't want to have to go to Ralph's and get first name basis with a checker there. That's not fun.
No, I did.
Super A.
I did. And Chris, hey, how are you? Hope you're listening. Appreciate you on aisle two.
Well, you have to go to the grocery store every day because you have a New York apartment probably. What do you have, 20 square feet to fit your grocery?
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
There you go, Scott. Hit him where it hurts. Hit him where it hurts.
Hey, and I pay top dollar for that 20 square feet, I'll have you know.
I bet you do, brother. Oh, man, I can't even imagine. I'm scared to death to ever live in New York. You have to have 12 jobs and date someone that has two on their own to make it there. So more power to you, my friend.
Oh, man. Yeah.
All right, so how many episodes did you guys breaking this down into? Do you have a mindset? Do you have your arc for your entire season? How many episodes do you have in your season? And what's the plans that way?
Yeah, we're going to release tomorrow the pilot one and pilot two. So we're breaking the pilot into two different sections because they're about each 10 minutes long. And
gotcha.
In total, we'll probably have about 5 or 6 episodes. Would you say, Nick?
Yeah, I'd say 6 or 7. With the big caveat, we wanted in such a climate with smaller attention spans, we kind of wanted to cater to that. So our episodes aren't, you know, 22 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour. We try to do between 7 minutes and 12 minutes. You can watch it and still have the rest of your evening to do whatever you need to do.
That's pretty strong coming out of the gate. I have lots of friends that are doing web series now in L.A., and usually first-timers are around 3 to 5 minutes an episode. I think Gossip Boy was like 3 minutes for its first season. Finally gotten about maybe 7 to 10 for its second season there. But it's tough. It's hard on when you're dealing with a very low budget and a time crunch and everything like that. It's hard to put out long episodes. I mean, it's just difficult stuff. So good on you for being able to do it that much. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think maybe that's just our theater background. And, you know, I've always appreciated films that really take their time with scenes. So, I mean, the first pilot, you know, it almost reads like an episode of, or like that film Coffee and Cigarettes. It's kind of a long scene where it's just Nick and I sitting at the table over Chinese food, catching up and kind of having a little philosophical banter. And then, you know, as the series continues, the pace really picks up and, you know, things start to unravel faster and faster. So that's kind of the pace of it. It starts out real slow and really builds quickly.
Gotcha. And what's your goals for it? Are you hoping, is it something you feel like you really want to go to a season two or using for like a launch pad for something else? Or what's your feelings on it? I'm sure they'll probably change as things go on, but what's your initial goals for it?
Well, right now we're hoping to get done, push out all the episodes and then take a little rest from Nick and Colin. Nick and Colin have had too much Nick and Colin. it's been a year and a half. But I think we're just excited because this was let's assess everything. We want to keep everything in-house, see what we like, see what we don't like, maybe meet some people we want to collaborate with. And I don't know if we've decided yet what we're doing, but I think we're both excited to just kind of start some newer projects. And like you said, treat this as a launch pad for any creative outlets and ideas.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, go ahead, Colin.
Yeah, just taking that what we learned technically and trying to build momentum that way and not being so afraid to put our own work up, even when it's not perfect, when it's not exactly what we wanted out of the gate, that it's still important to, you know, build that momentum so you can remember what you love to do.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah, it's very, I mean, I think, like I said, I deal with a lot of people that do a lot of web series anymore, especially LGBT community. We have web series coming out our ears because it's so tough to get jobs out there. I mean, there's so much, you think that with 500 television stations, it'd be easy to get a job as an actor or even a director producer, but it's really not. It's kind of a tight circle of people. And when you get into the fundraising part of it, which some people don't like or aren't good at and all the other stuff, it's a lot of work for anyone. So I more power to you guys.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Scott. Yeah. Thanks.
What's your goals out there? What are you pursuing in New York besides your filmmaking? Do you prefer stage? Are you going for, I mean, a lot of television in New York now, Nick. Are you going for those kind of things? You're trying to stay behind the camera? What's your personal
goals? There's a ton, man. I didn't realize when I moved here 5 years ago, how big film and television was in New York. And you're right. That's where it's been. There was a stage, you know, I'd done some acting. I'd been on 42nd Street in Times Square and performed, you know, a couple shows. And I'd done some national tours and toured around the country. For me, there's such an interest now in what you can do with a camera and the short messages that you can deliver. There's so many festivals going on out here, and there's so many shows that it really is, you're fighting against all those television programs. I think if you can find the resource and you can really hone the abilities to get on somebody's screen, whether that's a computer, tablet, phone, whatever, I think that has a lot more power. And I'm hoping to work with Colin in the future so we can make some projects and try to create some real change. Because I think we need some nice, fresh voices, and a little bit of humor doesn't help or doesn't hurt anything either.
Agreed. Good. Well said. Colin, what else are you pursuing? Same kind of situation for you. You have to go and do the pilot season and stuff out there besides your own stuff, or what are you doing out in LA?
Yeah. So I'm out in LA doing, you know, the whole acting thing. You know, I got an audition tomorrow for a TV show, but you know, like you said, even with all the shows out there, it's such a tight community, and you know, you might feel like you have a great audition or, yeah, you know, but until you're able to kind of break through that bubble, you know,
right.
It's hard to get in there, you know. If your dad's not a director, you know, it's you really got to put yourself out there. So, you know, we're trying to get better at that by making our projects. And you know, I really agree with what Nick said. You know, we want to work towards something that is helpful to the world, you know, that creates some kind of change. And whether that be through as simple as making people laugh or taking on some real thoughts and real issues and, you know, learning how to figure out that balance, that sweet spot.
Yeah,
you know, creating our own projects.
We as artists, we have to be responsible for the people that are not for the people that are viewing it, but we have to be responsible. We're artists. You know, back in Grecian times, we were the people that were changing how politics was viewed and how word got spread of issues going on. And
sure.
With everything with going on with, you know, our presidents and the dwindling National Endowment for the Arts and everything else. I'm really excited to be an artist in this time because I'm really hoping that we're going to have kind of a cultural renaissance where we come back and we take ownership of our art. And that's what we're doing with Nick and Colin. And that's what's so rewarding and inspiring just for us as the creators is that things are doable. It's achievable. You have to set your mindset and you have to wake up every day, take that step forward and continue moving forward. And I'm just really proud and excited of where we've come from so far.
Well said, my friend. Very good. Well, I wish you guys nothing but the best. Like I said, I think this is a great first step. I can't wait to see the entire series. The trailer was great, but I think this is where, like you said, the business is going. Digital content, having these kind of things, trying to find a way to leverage your talents and your friends and your relationships and kind of bringing something that people want to see. That's the way of the future. And I think you guys are right on the cutting edge there. And congratulations on going out there for it. That's just awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks so much, Scott, for having us on. And, you know, we really appreciate being a part of your show and the LGBT community. You know, we just really appreciate you having us on. Thanks so much.
You guys are welcome back anytime. Not let you get away too easy. I do ask all my guests. I try to put a top 10 list together at the end of the year. Different things. I get perspectives from all over the country. So you guys are each going to go. I got 10 questions here for you. First, I want to know, in our entertainment series, give me, what is your favorite theme park or amusement place to go to? Colin?
King's Dominion in Richmond, Virginia. That's my nostalgic place.
Nice. Nick?
So I started my working career at an amusement park. I was at Busch Gardens Williamsburg for 4 years, Scott. It was some of the most grueling, awful times of my working life. However, I don't do a whole bunch of amusement parks, but I will say I'm a Disney kid. I grew up on Disney, and Disney World down in Orlando, Florida, holds a very special place in my heart.
Nice. All right. Colin, favorite movie right now? Doesn't have to be anything contemporary, just one of your favorite movies in the past 10 years to now.
Sure. Arrival this year was one film that I really, really enjoyed. I'll give you that one for now. Yeah.
All right, Nick?
Imitation Game, Benedict Cumberbatch, Keira Knightley. I was really pretty blown away by that. So that's my vote.
Powerful movie. All right, Nick, television show. Would you get to watch much TV? What's your favorite series on right now?
Yeah, I'm going to throw out one that's maybe not too common. I know with HBO, you know, everybody's putting an HBO show. I'm going to give some love to Master of None, Aziz Ansari.
Nice. I'm not familiar with that. I know who Aziz is, of course, but great.
Uh-huh.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, Colin, television?
The Americans. I'm hooked on The Americans. I cannot wait for season 5.
I'm loving their previews right now. The Americans have probably some of the best previews on television right now. They're looking really good. I don't watch that series either, but the previews are freaking phenomenal. All right, and Nick, what's a favorite player musical, current or in the past, whichever?
Let's see. Wow. Favorite play. I got to go with just the written one. I haven't actually got the chance to see it, but Martin McDonagh's Pillow Man was one we did it in college, and I just think that's a magical read there.
Nice, Colin.
Yeah, as far as plays go, I would say Angels in America. I got a chance to do that in college. I got to play Pryor, which was pretty awesome. I was way too young for it, but, you know, in college you're kind of afforded that. You know, people give you a little break.
Right.
Tony Kushner is just fantastic writer, and for a musical, I would say Spring Awakening holds a nice place in my heart. My good friend Freddie Hall used to play a guitar for that show, and that is just an awesome musical that everyone should see.
Very cool. Let's drift into foodies here. Favorite restaurant in New York right now, Nick?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question. I got to go with what I've been eating recently. There is a small little place on Delancey, near Delancey, Essex. It's the Lower East Side for any New York listeners. And Wolf Nights, It's a wrap place, and I know what you're thinking. Chicken Caesar wrap? No, no, no. These are so much better. The combinations are fantastic. The flavors are wonderful, and they make all the tortillas right there in front of you to order. I'm pretty hooked on that.
Ooh,
yeah.
Amazing. All right, and out of L.A. area, Colin?
Yeah, you know, I got to give a big shout-out to Delia's, which is in Highland Park, right off of York and Eagle Rock, kind of right on the border of Eagle Rock. It's a little family-owned Mexican dive. You go in there, great breakfast, burritos. Delia is the sweetest woman on the planet. So you gotta check that out if you're in the LA area.
I could live off hole-in-the-wall breakfast. I want to write a book and do a podcast going from New York to LA, just doing nothing but diner food for breakfast every day. I would love that. That is awesome.
Oh, great, because we're on the same page. Let's collaborate.
There you go. We could do it. We could film it. All right. And what about a favorite meal for you, Nick? What's one of your favorite meals?
I grew up, we always called it pot pie, but it's chicken and dumplings. And my mom would cook the broth for like 3 hours, so it would smell up the whole house. It was wonderful. Just this homey, feel-good soul food that just warmed your entire body and being. Chicken and dumplings.
Nice. Yeah. Colin?
You know, I've been trying to perfect a French onion soup. I made it 4 times in the last, like, 3 weeks. it's pretty ridiculous. Like, the whole house just smells like onions all the time. So I've been working on this French onion soup for a while. You know, loaded with Swiss cheese
French onion
and
soup.
A nice baguette in there. So, yeah.
Nice. And then, Nick, are you a dessert person? What's a favorite dessert?
Well, I am a little Southern, so my initial response should be, you know, pecan pie. We don't say pecan because a pecan is something else. We say pecan pie. That with a big scoop of ice cream.
All right, Colin.
Nice. I like pecan pie. I got to go with tiramisu, absolutely.
Tiramisu, that's mine. Ding, 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 right there.
Yeah, all right, nice.
There you go. All right, and then finally we'll go into our last thing, which is books, authors. I'm not sure if you guys are big readers or not. Do you have a favorite genre, Colin?
Lately I've been reading some Murakami. You know, actually Nick turned me on to Murakami. Oddly enough, our friend Pancho, Jesse Mattis. So I've been reading The Wind Up Bird Chronicle. I mean, he gave me this book like 4 years ago. You know, I've been working on it. But, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And Nick, what about you? Genre or book you're working on right now?
You know, I've been working on it. I've read it a number of times. Well, I got a pressure cooker book, but that's not my favorite book that I'm working on right now. 1984 has always been my favorite, and
oh my God, how relevant now, huh?
You're
right. So. I have a feeling I have to bring you back on my Wednesday pop culture politics and review show. I think you and I can have a fun time there. I moved the rating up to rated R for it, and it's a lot of fun.
There you go. Yeah, don't dip your toes
there right now, my
friend.
All right, well, guys, thanks so much for being on the show. I appreciate you taking all the time. Why don't you each go ahead and give me your social media, either personal or for the series, and we'll get you guys out of here in just a second.
Take it away, Colin. You know it all.
Yeah, you can just search Nick and Colin. It's pretty simple for almost everything. on Twitter, it's at Nick and Colin. Colin with 2 L's. That's the only caveat that may throw you off. You can search our Facebook page, Nick and Colin, and our YouTube channel, Nick and Colin. So not too difficult to track down.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much. I wish you extended success. Have a great time with this run. We'll have you back on the show sometime real soon. Guys, thanks for staying the line for me. Guys, I'm going to be back in just a couple minutes to wrap up the show. We're going to take a quick pause, play a little bit of Robbo's 11 Minutes. You're listening to Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
11 blocks from my door to your doorstep. 3 years later and it feels too close. I thought I broke the last of that breakdown the morning I sold your winter coat. It doesn't feel right when I'm grabbing a coffee, the same old spot but I'm on my own. I feel okay in the day but at night time, you know how I get when I'm alone. 'Cause my mind won't stop, mister. Myself counting on the way. Right when I stepped in the door to the party, I stepped outside to grab a smoke. You know how I get when I'm alone, no. 'Cause my mind won't stop, Mr. Forty.
I'm back. Thanks, guys, so much for tuning in today. Hope you'll join us tomorrow right back here at 2 o'clock Pacific Time, 5 o'clock Eastern Time for another episode of Left of Straight Show. My special guest tomorrow will be from Sordid Lives, Ann Walker and Newell and Rosemary Alexander. They have the brand new sequel to Sordid Lives, A Very Sordid Wedding, coming out in March. We're going to be talking to them tomorrow. And then the amazing singer, she's an author, she's an actress, Casey Lansdale will be on. So great full show tomorrow. It'll be a two-hour show tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in. Thanks so much. Be sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram, at Left of Straight. That's at LEFTOFSTR and the number 8. On Facebook, you can follow our page at Left of Straight Show, or you can follow my personal page on Facebook, or my personal Scott Fullerton Facebook profile, and I will be sure to friend you. Thanks so much for listening in, and we'll see you tomorrow.